Has the volatility in the market presented any opportunities for you?
We got a ton of new money coming in.
Any of it have to do with the volatility, or is this stuff that was in the works?
I think some of the stuff was in the works, but I think the last few days have sped up some people.
Yep. It's a good time to have some experience in this business. There's plenty of opportunities to panic. A lot of people did, or the market couldn't have been down as much as it was. When you say a ton of new money, John, about how much do you have coming in?
We've brought in probably 25 already this year, and we probably have another 20 in the pipeline over the next 30 to 60 days.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. How many relationships would you guess that $45 million represents?
Well, some are – so this is bonus time, so a lot of it's existing clients. But I'd say we have five to ten new relationships, average account size $4 million or something like that.
Terrific. All right. You want to have a repeatable process in your practice. You want to have rituals, not discipline. Discipline is making yourself do something. An example of that for me is exercise. I absolutely hate to exercise. I hate it. But I know it's good for me, so I have to discipline myself to do it. A ritual is something you do without thinking. And the best example I can think about is brushing your teeth. No, I don't think many people get up, and I've said this to you before, I don't think many people get up in the morning and say, oh, this is Monday. Today's the day I brush my teeth. You don't even think about it. That's a ritual. When we talked about Jim Lehrer's book a couple of sessions ago, The Power of Full Engagement, we learned that the old paradigm is discipline and the new paradigm is rituals. Discipline takes a lot more energy than do rituals. So one of the ways we develop those rituals is by holding ourselves accountable, and that over time that grows into a ritual. In all my time at Merrill Lynch in management, I didn't find too many good FAs who liked supervision, but I have found that most good FAs like accountability around the right issues, and I would certainly put you all in that group. To get into accountability and rituals, I'd like to revisit a topic that we've discussed before, but we've never really completed it in my mind. One of the things that I want to do in a pleasant way is to hold you all accountable. And that topic is the 5-star leadership model. Over the weekend, it may have been last night or Saturday, I don't remember which day it was, I sent you that 5-star leadership model again. I hope y'all have that with you. Two of the ways you hold yourself accountable are the game board and this model. And it's really important that you assign leaders in each of these five areas. You all have a lot going on now, a lot of good things, and if you go ahead with this private wealth platform, you're going to have even more. And I want to discuss that again, some additional thoughts to what I had last week. I want to talk about that again. You're going to have even more on your plates as you grow your client base through the actual clients, and some FAs in North Carolina you're going to look at as clients. So I'd like to go over this model, these five areas, and if there are areas that you think aren't covered here, feel free to put them in. These are the five that we think are imperative to have to hold yourself accountable and to have rituals. So, Andrew, Will, have you had time to look at these five areas and start to assign responsibilities?
Yes, and I do like this topic.
All right. Hey, what I'm getting ready to say to you isn't trying to blow smoke up your pant leg. This is a sincere statement. The trap I don't want to fall into is you guys are so good at what you do, I don't want to fall into the trap of assuming that you're getting everything done. So
we're not getting everything done. And assume, I mean, we are good. We're good from a lot of attention and service. I think what we do need help with is a repeatable system in place. If, repeating what you said, we know all the concepts. We kind of, and every time we talk to someone like you, we get something else. We just need a plan in place, and that's why this kind of stuff, we probably agree with 98% of it, and if there's anything we're missing, if you can find that 2%, that's why we hired you.
Well, this is so important, and I don't think I've given this the emphasis I need for it to have for a practice like yours. So as you look at the planning, and again, the way I'm defining planning is the person who it always knows where the team is. With every client, where are they in the process? And I go back to that planning matrix where there were the four areas. You need to know where every client is. Are they in category 1, 2, 3, or 4? That doesn't mean this person does all the planning. They can, but this is somebody who in your weekly team meeting, which I'll get to hopefully a little later today, can answer the question where every client is in the process. Who is the right person for that job?
As of right now, that would be me, Will O'Brien.
And the wealth planning guy, too.
Yeah, and so we have also, I would be the middleman between our team and the wealth planning analyst who is a specialist and a UBS resource for us to use with creating the plans, data entry, and then also if we feel comfortable delivering the plans with the client and the advisors.
Okay, now you've told me that you're comfortable with this guy or gal, whatever. Are you saying that I've asked you a couple times if you're comfortable, Will, with this person in front of your clients, and I thought the answer I got back was yes.
Yes, we are. The only issue with the role is it's a 2-year role where the hope is that they join a team. So he's is already pretty much committed and signed with the team. So we will reassess the WPA role and if we're going to use them with the client once they, I guess, hire a new one or we have a new resource. But, yes, as of right now, we've used him with some big cases and he's great, but we have to keep that in mind that he is joining a team and no longer will be a WPA and will be a financial advisor.
And just to make things more complicated, once we go private wealth, we're going to have a dedicated person to our group. So then it would be more streamlined. So I think what we need to do is Will's in charge of this. We get a list of our 100 clients or 100, whatever the number of the clients are, and every weekly meeting we go over and say, Will, we need to do 10 this week or 5 this week, and just check them off. And Will's responsible. When I say, Will, I'm too busy, you say, no, we got to get X done a week for the next 50 weeks. So I really like this, and we're going to work through it.
All right. Good. The only thing I would say to you about the plans, John, and I don't really need to say it, but I'm not gonna assume. The number of plans done is important, but it's secondary to getting the plans done well. This is not a contest about getting to 100% in planning.
Yep.
Ultimately, I'd rather have you do 7 in depth than do 10, and you're not as proud of them as you would like to be.
And the beauty now is, so we go private wealth. Our clients, if you're worth $10 million or whatever your number is, your financial plan is not, can I retire? It's all the other stuff. So it has to be a product that's probably more extensive and more complete than the general off-the-rack kind of model. So I agree with you 100%. I think with Will working with the new person, we would have a schedule. Maybe 1 week a month, this person comes in, and we can do five a week or five a month or something like that. But I agree 100% because so what happened in our firm is they come out and said, if you do a financial plan, you'll get an extra 1% bonus. So everybody blew through the shit and put them up there, and it's fine. And we delivered a bunch of them, but it wasn't really what's supposed to be done. I think we got to go deep with these people, and that's one of the biggest reasons we're going private wealth is we have a lot more access to people like this.
I hear what you're saying. That at Merrill years ago, FAs used to have to do 15 plans in order to get their club benefits.
Yeah.
And there were some not-so-handsome plans done throughout the firm.
Yeah, it's just they'll do what they need to do to get paid. We got to do the best thing for the client and our practice.
Well, that always gets you paid best, doing the best thing for the client. But compensation is payout times production. If you do plans well, I would submit to you whether your grid changes or not, that you'll be multiplying that number times a bigger PC number if you're doing plans correctly. And that's in the form of business, and it's in the form of referrals.
And my problem with the off-the-rack plan that we have, it's a good plan, but every schmo on Wall Street does it, and it's for a guy with $300,000. You go to a guy with $10 or $20 million and tell him he can retire, he knows he can retire. You got to go in-depth to the estate planning, the gifting, the budgeting, the stuff that's going to move his needle. But, you know, every rich guy needs to know he can retire. But the market we're running in, we need the next level, and that's what I'm excited about doing.
Well, that's a trap some FAs fall into, John. They approach it from can my client retire and assume that's the biggest thing for the client, when in fact, as you said, that's not, they don't worry about that. They're worried that they get the money set aside for their special needs grandchild or.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of things that bond you to a client when you're getting into heart, H-E-A-R-T issues, not just dollars and cents. All right. So Will's going to be in charge of the tracking the planning. Again, Will, these bullets I have underneath, which clients have a plan, how many are in progress, which plans have been fully implemented, that's just there to help you with the process. You may have different or additional bullets. This is your, as John just said to you, this is your responsibility to get it done and to hold Andrew and John accountable also. Let's go to the next one, the VP of implementation. That should say planning implementation. Again, who's the best person to lead that effort, making sure that, you know, your planning brand is the way you differentiate yourself, and we've talked about this from a planning point of view, is you want your plans fully implemented and you want them revisited on a regular basis. A lot of people do the plans. They don't follow up and make those two things happen. Who's the best person to lead the implementation effort, John?
I think I'm going to take that.
All right. The VP of brand, I'm not going to read all the bullet points. You have them in front of you. We used to call this the VP of service, but we made it a little bit bigger. Who's the best person for that?
I think I'm taking that.
Are you sure of the four of you, you're the right person for that?
I'm not the right person. I think I need to get it all in writing and all on. Once I get it to where the way I want it, someone else can do that. Who wants it?
Well, I'll give you my opinion. I think Leela's the best person for this.
All right.
You could spend a lot of time talking about what you want the client experience to look like when the clients come into the office, but wouldn't it be more efficient if Leela came to you with what she thinks it looks like, and then you grade her work instead of everybody else grading your work? I'm just trying to get the right people in the right seats here, John.
All right. All right, I think I need to talk to Leela about it, and we can work together on that, because I'd love for someone else to do it.
Yeah, it's not probably what you do best, John. Not saying you can't do it, but most people are really good at what they enjoy doing. So I'm going to put Lila / John. Marketing. Marketing. Your website, LinkedIn, client events, getting yourself out. I don't know. I'm going to shut up and let you answer the question.
I think Will / Andrew.
Yeah, that's me / Andrew. Andrew had to hop on a call, but yes, I assist with the website and LinkedIn, and then Andrew is pretty much 100% of his, or majority of his focus is being out in the community, doing events, getting our name out, getting our brand out. So maybe I'm more of the day-to-day technical stuff, but he's more of the out in the community and poking around to see where there's opportunities.
I get that. Here's what I would say to you. If two people are, the old saying, if two people are in charge, nobody's in charge. You two are the obvious ones to me. I think you ought to select which one you want it to be. You all, while I think I know you all pretty well, I don't know you as well as you know each other.
I would pick Andrew, and then I would assist Andrew when he reaches out to me and said, hey, the website needs to be fixed. Hey, can you creep on this guy on LinkedIn? But Andrew's definitely overseeing and is in charge of all of that. I just was kind of supporting Andrew, so we'll put Andrew in charge of that.
Okay. And then, John, I think let's go to the last one, VP of Leadership. Who's saying, here's where we're going and here's how we're going to get there?
Me.
Okay. All right. Now, that's everything you've done here makes sense to me. Any thoughts, John, before I move on to something a little bit different?
No, I like this. I just got to get it in written form. Everybody knows, so if Will decides to go to Harvard Business School, the guy who takes a seat can take over for him.
Well, what I would suggest is let Will put his in writing, you put yours in writing, Andrew puts his in writing, and
all right,
give yourself a time. You know, you want to have this done by, you know, the end of February, whatever. So I think it's a good idea to get it all written down, but you don't have to do all the writing. As a matter of fact, I'd recommend that you don't. Let each person define his own role.
All right.
All right. Now, I said there are two ways to hold yourself accountable. One is the 5-star leadership model. The other is the game board. We need to spend any time on that, or are you all comfortable with that?
We're pretty good with it. We're good with it.
Does everybody, including Lila, have something on that? Do you have the board, and does everybody have something on that board?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Morning, Lila. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm at the beach, Lila. What do you think?
All
right. What I would, I'm going to refer you to a couple of pages in your Supernova manual. You don't need to get them if they're not easily accessible. But if you look at pages 94 and 95, on page 94, there's a sample agenda for a weekly team meeting. And the agenda includes reviewing the previous week and the plan for the new week. But what we feel really drives the team meeting is feedback from the 5-star leadership model and the game board. If Lila had one issue that she wanted to get 4 of done in the next week, she reports on that. Everybody reports on what they had on the game board and the results. Will may be on a roll with planning. His goal was to get 2 started. He got 3 started. Everybody can say, attaboy, Will. Everybody loves encouragement. Nobody's ever going to say, John, you're saying too many good things about me. Stop immediately. People like recognition no matter what they say. So what drives your weekly meeting is follow up on the 5-star leadership model and the game board. Make sense, John?
Yes.
All right. The other thing that's on the next page, page 95, is a sample agenda for a daily stand-up meeting. We think it makes sense to stand up around Leela's desk or John's desk or whatever, and just bring everybody up to speed on the on what's happened so far during the day. If you got a big client coming in, making sure everybody's prepared for that, you just want to have a short stand-up meeting in the middle of the day to bring everybody up to speed on what's gone on so far during the day. Any questions?
When do you think, what time do you think we should do that?
11 o'clock or right before lunch. It says on page 95, John, 15 minutes. I think if it takes longer than five, it's probably gotten out of hand. Not out of hand, but this is just to bring everybody up to speed on what's happened so far in the day. Anything anybody needs to talk about.
Is 8 and 11 too much twice a day?
I don't know, John. Since you asked that question, I'm going to assume that you think it might be valuable. I'd start with 11 o'clock, and if you feel you need to add one at earlier in the day, I would do that. But
I think I'm going to go to 8 to 11 or 8, find another time, because you've probably figured out the meeting would not be more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. Then it becomes something else. All right. This conversation is about so that you get less energy. The way you develop those is you have accountability, and accountability over time turns into rituals. And the way you're going to get there is making sure that you're following your five-star leadership model and making sure that everybody's participating in the game board. Got it?
Yep.
All right. Now, I would like to spend some time around – I mean, you're doing this private wealth thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. I got in my notes your possible move to private client, private wealth. But here's – I gave you a little last time, but I'm going to give you my experience from private wealth. Private wealth came to the firm while I was working in Nashville. I had two private wealth advisors. I just want to give you learn from some of their mistakes and some of the things that that went well. These are things that I think you need to think about before private wealth comes to fruition. Make sure that you never say anything bad about a non-PWA FA. I know you wouldn't do that, but what really puts traditional advisors off is when a private wealth person, not necessarily through their word, but through their actions, it comes across as, I'm smarter, I'm better than you are. When in fact, it's just you've chosen a different platform. You're smarter. It just you've chosen a different platform. Part of that platform is you have to give up relationships under $2 million. You can't open relationships under $2 million. That's one of the things when, if you would ever, who died and made you king? Well, nobody. I like this platform, and one of the things I agreed to do was I can't open relationships under $2 million. There aren't many advisors in the boardroom who are going to jettison everything under $2 million. It's just the way it is. So you're not better. You're not a better FA. You've just chosen a different platform. You see things on a daily basis that an FA maybe sees one or two times in their career. So it's much more efficient for them to use you than to try to get up to speed in a short period of time, which they can't do because you've got to have experience along with the knowledge. That's the way I would present myself. I see things on a regular basis, that may not come across your desk on a regular basis. You see what I'm just trying to. Well, I want you to avoid the pitfall of them thinking you think that you're better than they are. You with me?
I don't got time to even think that yet. So we're moving so quick, we don't have time for that.
Have time for what?
We don't think we're better than anybody. You know, we're doing it for. It's very specific to our business, but I agree with what you said.
I know that, John. But here's what I also know: is people don't always make rational decisions. You may never say anything that is negative. I would suspect that is going to be the case 100%. I'm just saying sometimes you get perceived that way. And I want you to be able to explain why it's not about you being a hotshot. It's about you having chosen a different platform.
Okay.
All right. It's also good for them to know, other FAs, that their best relationships are on somebody else's prospect list. And if the competition identifies a need or a solution for this client before the FA does, they're forever going to be playing catch-up with that relationship. So their best clients are getting prospected. If that prospecting FA comes up with a problem they don't know they have, I'm talking about the client, or it hasn't been addressed, that's going to put that prospecting FA in a superior position to the FA who did not identify the need. You got it?
Yes.
All right. Now, I don't know what the rules are going to be at UBS right now, but at Merrill, and again, I'm going back 10 years, if an FA brings you in, they're copied on all correspondence to a client, and they will be aware of or invited to any meetings you might have with that client. You always want to keep them in the loop. All right? Other ideas. Is your manager still going to get paid on your revenues?
Yes.
So there's like double accounting?
I believe so. It's not a negative impact on our existing manager, but we'll still report to a different manager, I believe.
Okay. Well, it's always important if you can help that your manager get paid better. Whether, you know, if they're getting measured on certain things that you can provide training for, that's helpful to him. And you might want to offer training. And I just made a couple of notes. You might offer to do training around financial planning. Andrew might offer training around networking. John can talk about expanding the niche, the way John has done that with IBK folks. So again, helping out the manager, helping with training, and I'm not talking about mass training for an LOS 15-minute FA. I'm talking about in a small group with select FAs who you can train and frankly make them a little more observant for business they might want to bring you in on. You with me?
Yep.
Yes.
Another way you might want to present yourself is, you're an adjunct member of their team. You just like you can bring in a financial planning person, they can bring you in and represent you as an adjunct member of their team. I got a couple more. Your manager can refer you to FAs who are strong enough to bring you in. Weaker FAs, again, in my experience, are less likely to bring you in than good, successful FAs. Your manager knows who those people are. Your manager will also know where there are large relationships and weak hands. I can remember a sweet FA I had. He was really a nice man. We grew up in the same town. When I moved to Nashville, he would drive me to the airport. He was just a great guy. he had a huge relationship, and I think they had a huge relationship in Coke or Pepsi. And he just, all he was getting off of that was getting paid on assets. We never really got him to bring in a PWFA to help him with that relationship. So your manager will know where there are strong, big accounts in weak hands. A couple other things. Are you going to get any money, John, for a kickoff meeting with your clients?
I don't know what you're asking.
How are you going to announce this PWA thing to your clients, or do you think that's something you don't need to do?
We're going to have to do it because we're changing account numbers. We're still figuring that out.
Okay. One way to do it might be through a golf outing or something like that. I guess, do you get expense money, PWA expense money?
Possibly, yes. Yeah, I'm sure we do.
All right. Have you got anybody yet to do to give your sub $2 million relationships to?
We're still working on that.
And then finally, I think it's important for you to meet the other managers in North Carolina. Have you thought about how to get that done?
We're still figuring that out. I mean, my impetus for doing this is, if another FA brought me in, that'd be sure gravy. That is not the angle at all I'm trying to. I know a lot of guys do it. I'd say for the next 2 to 3 years, we are going to focus on our stuff, and if other stuff comes in, great, but that's not going to be a big effort on our part at first.
The best way to get in front of other managers when you get to that point is through your own manager. He knows those folks. And what our PWAs found, and they were both – I had one that was a really strong personality. He didn't get much referral business in the office at all. He got most of his from outside of Nashville. That's probably where your biggest opportunity would be when you get to that point that you want to partner with other FAs.
Yeah, I mean, but to do that almost contradicts what we're doing here is we can only handle so many, and that's why we're developing our focus more. I don't want to split business. I think there's enough business for us to grow our business, then we have to split. And I could be wrong, and we might call you back in 3 years and say, we want to redo this all, and you need to help us how to do this. But maybe I'm naive, but that's not my impetus for doing this.
And that's where that's where it should be, John. Period. My point is there's a lot of business out there that needs you. It's just in the hands of other FAs. I guess I don't really need to say anything more about it. Those opportunities, I think, will come your way.
Yeah, and from what you said at the beginning, the way I look at it is I would never assume we're better or different. We want to earn that, and people will identify that over time. But I know exactly what you're saying. I don't think we're better, they're better. I just want to be in that marketplace and have more access inside the firm and have deeper, larger relationships. That's my whole reason for doing this. And it's the market we're in, and it's almost supersizing the whole Supernova process that if we want 75 or 50 relationships each, we've bought into y'all system and say we want the bigger ones.
Right. I got it. When the opportunity comes, and it will, I want to feel that you're prepared to have those conversations.
I agree. And maybe I'm naive. Well, I don't know. Let me ask you a question. How much more time do we have with you? How many more weeks?
You got next week is our last weekly, and then we go to monthly for 9 months.
Oh, wow. All right. Then what happens after that?
Well, you can hire us on retainer.
All right.
I could make the laughter longer, but I'm 4 minutes over, so.
No, that's okay. All right. I just want to know, you're doing great.
Hey, John. Most people, and again, I hope you understand my sincerity, most people are not as confident as you are around what you're doing. What I'm talking to you about here in the last 10 minutes about partnering with other FAs, that is a significant part of some people's reason for going in to PWA. The fact that you say, you know, we can grow for the next 2 to 3 years just doing what we're doing if we continue to do it, that's a really strong statement to make. I don't run into
I like clients we get on our own. You've been in the business as long as I have. I look through my book of business. Yeah, I've inherited some great accounts over the years, but I love the people we've gotten on our own.
Well, I had never thought about it that way, but it makes sense. Hey, John, I started in 71. When did you start?
86.
Yeah.
When men were men. You had that big bull market between 74 and 82, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a big one. That was
it was like 10 points, I think it moved.
Yeah, I was selling a lot of municipal bonds in those days.
Yeah, I wish I was selling municipal bonds right now. All right, we will talk to you next week.
Enjoyed it. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Will.